somebody said it over here. I didn't pick up who said it, but somebody said it over here that if Knack walk into a room, so you have to start a night, you know, with Knack. So I'll ask Knack to start the night, and then I'll say.
Like Mariano,
I was
gonna close it.
No, you could also close. I don't mind if you close. You could open it. We'll see if you end up closing. You could open it.
It's been a while.
How much time you need?
In a house so far from home, we're surrounded yet so alone. When I fall, you help me rise. In a room full of darkness, you are my light. Ay, 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 ooh, oh. Ay, 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 whoa. Ay, 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 ooh, oh. Ay, 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 whoa.
Just share a few words. Shkaf Nat. So at the end of Mishpatim, there's a strange storyline. I'll just read one pasuk. But Hashem tells us, V'alatzili b'nei Yisrael lo sholoch yado. There's an event that took place over there before Matan Torah. It's out of order. This story happened, it was placed out of order in the Chumash. But before Matan Torah, V'alatzili b'nei Yisrael lo sholach yado. Hashem didn't punish a group, a chevra. V'yechezu es elokim, that they saw their bonus shalom, v'yochlu v'yishtu. And they ate and they drank. Strange story. Very, very, very cryptic, very vague, very short. And Rashi just adds, Rashi explains, he elaborates, hayu mistaklim bo b'leiv gas. They gazed at Hashem with a gas heart, a thick heart. Mitoch achilu ushtia, eating and drinking, they were having a good time. Kach medrish tanchuma, Uncle doesn't learn like that. Okay, so they sat at Har Sinai, they sat and they peered, they gazed on Hashem. Mitoch lev gas, achilu ushtia. Lev gas means something, hard exactly to define. They had a lev gas. What did they do wrong? Unclear. But then it turns into something practical. Rashi explains, the medrish explains, that mitoch achilu ushtia, eating and drinking, they sat at Har Sinai. This is a funny thing. I think this is a funny thing. If you know me a little bit, if you know me well for sure, if you know me, you know this is my kind of Rashi, because this is very difficult for me. These types of things are very difficult for me. I'll say something in serious, but it's a joke. It's true, but it's a joke. I think it's a joke, but it's serious. That I met a boy recently on the path of path of meeting Jews in America that hopefully we'll spend more time with next year, in the next upcoming years. And one of the Jews I met recently, the last couple of days, so they have like an application. So an application is one of the questions. I think it's a joint application. It's for everybody. So it's all the yeshivas got the same application. And the question is like a generic question, nothing fancy. It says hobbies. So on the hobbies, he wrote, I love food. So I thought it was a joke. I thought it was a bit. So I was looking through the application with the boy, and I saw it, and I was on the floor. I couldn't stop laughing, cracking up. There's other things I was laughing also about, but this is one of the things. It just, it was too funny for me to hold my straight face. So he said, why are you laughing? So I said, I couldn't even say it. I just circled it. I turned the paper around to him. I said, what is this? Is it hobby? I love food. He looked at me like I was out of my mind. He looked at me like I was from a different planet. He goes, yeah, like I like, you know, I'm like different kinds of foods. I have a very good palate. Okay, that's a hobby. It's a hobby now. It's a hobby to love food. It's a hobby to love food. So in a culture where food needs to be at every event, you can't have an event without food. This is something, again, this is not something I don't think I've ever spoken about publicly, but the guys who sit around me when I vent, they know what I vent about. I think food is very destructive to spiritual occasions. I think when you have food at shiurim, it doesn't enhance the shiur. It strongly hurts the shiur. That's my opinion. Who agrees with me? Nobody. So how do you know I'm wrong? Because everybody disagrees with me. So I'm probably wrong. I'm sharing my opinion. When I started giving shiurim many years ago, I remember somebody told me, an older, very experienced, before your time even, it was a long time ago, a few years before your time, and somebody told me that you can't give shiurim, especially you can't give shiurim during off hours, during Bein Hasdarim. If you're not bringing like the Rebbetzin's brownies, the Rebbetzin's cupcakes, the Rebbetzin's, I don't know, I got to bother my wife now. I don't understand what that mentality is. Now I got to bother my wife that she's got to convince people to come listen to me talk. That was weird to me. Okay, I feel bad bothering my wife that she's got to convince people to come listen to me. It's a little strange thing, I thought. But then also to bring food to come hear Torah, I felt that was a zilzal of Torah. I felt that was cheapening Torah. I felt that if you need to offer people candy to give them gold and diamonds, so what's gold and diamonds worth if you need to offer people candy to get gold and diamonds? And if people need food, I respect that people need food. People are hungry. The chaver is hungry. I understand. But I can't cheapen Torah. If you want to eat, you should bring in your pockets. Chill and kugel, whatever you can fit in your pockets. Enjoy yourself. Yeah, no, listen, some people, you got like lined pockets that could hold the good barley and meat and potatoes, whatever you can put in your pockets. And then in the middle of the shiur, I'm not going to say who because it's recorded, but one of the Gedolei Yisrael, really, really from the Gedolei, one of the Gedolei Adar, I heard him say with my own ears, I heard him say that he was, I don't want to give away identity, you could ask me afterwards when the recording's off who it's about. He would sit in shiur by really one of the Gedolei Yisrael of 1,000 years ago, which means, I don't know, 50 years ago, and he wanted he didn't want to miss a word. So he had in his pocket, he had coffee in his pocket, but not a cup. You can't have a cup of coffee in your pocket. He just had coffee, just the coffee part, without the cup, without the water part, just the coffee part. And he would, you know, they have snuff on Yom Kippur, but it was like coffee, yeah. Snuff, and it went in the mouth, and he just ate it during shiur, just like keep staying in the game. So I understand, if you want to keep chont in the pocket, you want to keep coffee in the pocket, whatever you want to keep in the pocket. But there's something about our culture that you can't have ruchnius without food. It's going to be in a couple of years, maybe not in my lifetime, maybe in your lifetime. They're going to start having shacharis with food. Mincha they have already. I saw already mincha. I saw Kabbal Shabbos with food. Marav I saw with food. During Marav, that's how you get people to a Marav, because you got to be eating during, for sure during, you know, after Hashkivenu, nobody says that. So during after Hashkivenu, to have a break between Gula and Tefillah, you have a little kiddush over there, because nobody knows what to do. We don't say it. We say it. I don't say it. So then have a kiddush while everybody else is pretending to say it. You have a good time over there. So during minyanim, they already have shacharis. I haven't seen yet, but it's not. It'll happen soon. Because how do you get the chever to come? You got to offer food. And the yeshivas already thought about it. The yeshivas didn't think about this. How do you get guys to say you got a hot chocolate machine and and you get the rugaluch for the early morning kailo, and you get because it brings the chevra in. I could be wrong. Who agrees with me? Nobody agrees with me. No bacher, no rebbe I've ever met has ever agreed with me. You're looking at me like, oh, this guy's crazy. Shkayach. I've heard that before. But there's an interesting story in the Chumash, a fascinating story over here, that mitoch leiv gas, vayochlu vayishtu, and Hashem wasn't into. So Gemara, I didn't know we'd have Gemaras. I have it. I wrote it down. I want to read to you a Gemara. I think it's such a beautiful Gemara. I'm going to teach you a Gemara. I want to learn with you a Gemara. Dvarim hayotzim mean a conversation I had yesterday with a bacher from a high school. We learned together. I don't test boys on Gemara. I think that's nonsense to test a boy in Gemara. I feel very uncomfortable testing a boy in Gemara. So I tell boys that I sit with, I tell them we're going to learn together. Let's learn together. And we have chedushim. I could write a sefer. The chedushim that I have with these boys, you can't imagine. I want to share with you one of the chidushim that we had. It says a Gemara, beautiful Gemara. Darsha Rabbi Avira. So Rabbi Avira, he darshins. Zimnin Amar Lo Mishmei Der Biami, Zimnin Amar Lo Mishmei Der Vasi. So sometimes you quote Vami, sometimes Ravasi. Amru Malachi Asharis Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the angels, they say in front of Hashem, Ribono Shalom, Kasa Besara Secha Asher Lo Yisaponim Vol Yikach Shochar. It say, you wrote, you're the one who wrote in your Torah that you're not Yisaponim, you don't give favor to anybody in particular. V'alo ata no seponim liYisrael, but you lied. Because look around, you're very nice to Jews. You seem to be very favorable to Jews. Dechsev, Yisa Hashem ponav elecha. You say, you know, viduchen. Yisa Hashem ponav elecha. Hashem. It's very hard not to say hi to Chevra. If you came late, I'm sorry I can't say hi to you, but I want to say hi. I'll try to say hi afterwards. It says, Yisa Hashem ponav elecha. Hashem promises us. It's a bracha. It's a guarantee. He commits. He's committing to Klai Yisrael. Yisa Hashem ponav elecha. So the angels, they were confused. They didn't understand. You told us, lo yisa ponim. And then you told us, Yisa Hashem ponav elecha. You got to decide. What are you doing? Amr lehem. V'chi lo es ponim li Yisrael. How could I not? How could I not be favorable to these people, these wonderful Jews, these amazing Jews? Shekasavti lehem b'tor. Now, if you would anticipate what's about to happen, maybe Hashem's going to say, Shekasavti lehem, I wrote for them something, and they went crazy. They're so good to me. The Jews are so good to me. How could I not be good to them in return? But Hashem says a funny thing. He says, Shekasavti lehem b'tor, I wrote for them, V'achalto v'savato v'irachto Hashem lukecha. I asked them to bench, told them to bench. And they're so careful, akizayis, akibeya. So I told them, when you're full, then you bench. And they're very religious, these Jews. These Jews get very religious. Kizayis, kibetza, they bench for a little bit. I told them, you eat a big, you know, you have like a real chashiva, a real tish, you know, like some of us want right now. Then you bench. You have to be careful not to wash, because then you have to bench. But then you should bench. But they're so religious. A little piece of bread, and they bench. Very strange Gemara. I'm not going to talk too long. We'll keep it short, but very strange Gemara. There's a lot of things that the Jews are very religious about. We're very machmir about a lot of things. It's not fair, because the guys who are Mivaseret, you come back, your alumni get to see you. But there's some Chevra who are not a Mivaseret, and I only get to bump into them on Ein Gedi when I'm walking my family, and I don't have time to say hi. And it's very nice to see guys from elsewhere. It's a very strange thing that he picked this Derabbanan. Out of all Derabbanans, there's a lot of Derabbanans that were very religious. This Derabbanan, out of all them, even if you don't like the Kasha, it's arbitrary. Why this? Manishtana, this Derabbanan, and every other Derabbanan. And also, I didn't really understand the answer, because there's a kasha, there's a stira in the psukim. One pasuk says Hashem's not nice to Jews, he's not favorable to anybody in particular, and the next pasuk says he's very favorable to Jews. So Hashem says, what was his answer? He says, how could I not be favorable? I like Jews, because they like me. But what about the psukim? He never answered the psukim. Psukim says you're not favorable. So you lied? So what did you do? How do you resolve the pasuk? The pasuk is left unresolved. still says Hashem won't be Yis upon him. I don't want to talk too long. Maybe one more kasha. I'll say, I think, you'll tell me what you think, but I think that this is a bracha of Atala. I think this is a problem. Hashem said to make a bracha of Yachalta v'savata v'rachta. If you have kidei sviya, if you have an amount that you feel good, you're full, you bench. If you have less than that, that's an iser to bench. You're not allowed to bench. You can't say lotisa. You're not allowed to say Hashem's name for no reason. Hashem doesn't want you to bench unless than a kidei sviya. So he's saying, oh look, they're so religious, they don't listen to me. What's he saying? We make jokes when a guy's like firmer than God. If you're firmer than God, Hashem's not into that. Hashem's very firm. He's very firm. You got to be more religious than Hashem. So here they're like, I said to bench if you're full, and they're so religious they bench even. But then you sing a bracha levatala. Hey, let it do that. There's a lot of problems with this Gemara. So me and this tzaddik that we were learning together, we were thinking different things. And then afterwards, I looked a little bit, and I found the Chassam Sefer who said, I think what he said. The Chassam Sefer says like this. A beautiful vart. He says, a Jew, you could misinterpret. You could look at a Jew, you could see a Jew, and you could misunderstand when you see a Jew. You could see a Jew, and you might, by accident, you might confuse a Jew with a person. So you see a Jew, and it looks, it smells like a person, and it walks like a person, talks like a person. You might think it's a person. It's a say about a duck like that, no? So you might think it's a person. By a person... A person, when they're full, they have to bench. Says the Chassam Sofer. But a tzaddik is satiated with less. A tzaddik is not trying to take a lot from Olam Hazeh. A tzaddik takes a little from Olam Hazeh. So the pasuk says, v'savata. V'savata, nasnu dvar, the words are given to the Chachamim. Hashem gave it over. It's like pre-Eitz Hadar. It's Hadar is undefined. Savata is undefined. So you tell me what's savata. So savata means you're full. So what's full? So full means a tzaddik is satisfied with a little bit. A tzaddik is satisfied with gashmias of a little bit. Very nice Chassam Sofer. So it happened to be. I think this is what the guy was telling me. And we were, you know, we're having a good time. I mean, we're learning together. And I told him, I said, that's a beautiful vart, because he was a tzaddik. The guy who told me this high school kid was a tzaddik. A beautiful vart. I said, that's gorgeous. I said, but not everybody's a tzaddik. But everybody's got a bench now because you're a tzaddik. Since you're a tzaddik, Chazal decided that everybody's got a bench like a tzaddik. You look around, I don't know, you go to these events and there's doggies on the table, there's whatever on the table. Nobody ate one popper. I never seen a guy eat one popper. The chevra is licking the pan, the chevra is like holding the pan and wiping the pan, and then like you fight over the last popper and you're saving it for that guy and you get angry because he's saving it, and who let you save it if he's not here on time? That's my popper. And everybody's fighting over the 74th popper. Their personal 74th popper. So you're a tzaddik, Chazal or tzaddikim. So Chazal want to be misakin that you have to bench because a tzaddik eats a little bit, he stays a little bit. What does it have to do with me? So I think it has a lot to do with me. I think it has a lot to do with us, and I want to tell you why. The most common, I think it's the most common. The most common complaint is a strong word. The most common challenge, the most common difficulty that I hear coming from guys in college is that the learnings, a lot are learning, they're davening, they're doing good things, doing very good things, excellent things. But a lot of chevras sometimes feel that as much as they're learning, that they're doing good things, but the nusach is, but I'm not growing. I don't feel like I'm growing. And I want to tell you a secret, a very important secret to know your whole life. That as much as you're learning, as much as you're davening, if you're not growing, you'll be resentful. If you feel like you're not growing, you're going to end up bitter. If you feel like you're not growing, you're going to end up leaving the learning and the davening. Because if it's not pleasant and it's not the way it's supposed to be, if that's not cheapening Torah, that's putting Torah on the pedestal that it deserves to be on. That Torah is sweet, Torah is honey, Torah is delicious. And if you don't taste that delicious flavor of Torah, then you're not going to come to the next Suda. So this is not a complaint like you feel not good about yourself because you feel like you're not growing. No, it's a legitimate thing that it's going to stop you from the actions, from the behaviors, from the learning and davening. Because if you're not growing, you didn't sign up. I don't think a guy in Shana Aleph signed up for a religious lifestyle where he's not going to be growing. We got passionate Shana Aleph, Shana Bet, because we were growing. And you come sometimes to the next stage in life, and sometimes you feel, unfortunately, that you got your behaviors down pat, you got your schedule down pat, but you don't feel the growth. Now, what does that mean, you don't feel the growth? I have my interpretation. I'll share my interpretation. What does it mean you don't feel the growth? I'll tell you what I think it means you don't feel the growth. Yechazer Shir. You know, your mom's a superstar over here. Yechazer Shir. The superstar is Chazer Shir. You're a real superstar, Yechazer Bekiyas also. First of all, it means you go to Shir. It means you go to Bekiyas. And then Yechazer Shir, and you know Shir. Maybe even you could say it over to other guys. You help other guys Chazer Shir. And Bekiyas, you learn, and Yechazer, whatever your starim are, you have a halacha seder, you have a musa seder, your mom is doing things behaviorally the way they should be done. Top of the line. You can't get better than that. But then I ask a difficult question that some people in the room are amazing at. And maybe everybody in the room is amazing at, and this is a very superfluous conversation. But it's worthwhile to have a superfluous conversation in the halls of a place that maybe other guys are having this challenge, and let it reverberate through the halls. What time are you getting to Minyan? What time are you getting to Shacharis? And this is a strong point by me, that if Shacharis is at 7 o'clock, you're at Minyan at 6:55. If Shacharis is at 8 o'clock, you're there at 7:50. To come to a Shacharis 8:03 means Hashem. It means you're saying, Hashem, this is miserable for me. I'm just not feeling you. I sense you're not feeling me. And we're growing distant from each other. So it started when I got 7:50, 7:55. Shachar starts at 8, and then 8:03, 8:06, and then wake me up for Shir, and then maybe let it stop there. Because you're not growing. And if you're not growing, you signed up for a lifestyle where you felt connected to Ruchnius, you felt connected to the Rabbonu Shalom, you felt that Rabbonu Shalom is listening and watching and caring. And then life goes on, and you're juggling, and you're coping with a lot of different things, and stresses, and pressures, and you don't have time for the Rabbonu Shalom. You just don't have time for him. He's wonderful. He's amazing. You just don't have time for him. And where does it really come out? Where does it really come out? I'll tell you where it really comes out. It's a joke. This became a joke. Sometimes jokes are not funny. Most jokes I hold are not funny, especially Jewish jokes. They're not funny, stam, because they're not funny. And they're not funny because they're not funny. It's two very different things. One is a humor thing, and one is a... You know, my father, he should live till 100, 150, 180. My father should be healthy. He should live a long life. My father is he didn't have a Jewish education. But my father, I remember looking up to my father when I was growing up. My father, a lot of the American chevra, no disrespect to Americans, I'm not American, what am I going to do? The American chevra, you know, in the kiddush, at the wedding, wherever they're at, you know, a dad might make a inappropriate, just slightly inappropriate. I remember looking at my dad, a chill guy, he's not very educated in Judaism, he would never laugh, and he would often change the subject, he would often change the topic. And I remember I looked at my dad and I saw dignity, I saw self-respect, I saw a very mature person in that way and in many ways. In many ways I saw a lot of dignity and a lot of self-respect. And there's a joke, so there's a lot of jokes we make, and they're not funny. That's one of the jokes that we make, that they're not funny. And jokes about people's wives, those are for sure not funny. There's no humor in that. There's very sad jokes, very empty jokes. If you end up making jokes like that, you got to rethink your whole life. And jokes about mother-in-laws, those are not funny jokes at all. Those are terrible jokes. You got to rethink your whole life. If you're making mother-in-law jokes, those are terrible, disgusting, filthy jokes. You should take out of your rhetoric, out of your vocabulary. You shouldn't make jokes like that. So a lot of jokes like that we make. And then there's jokes that we make. This is a terrible joke we make. It's not a joke. You don't say it as a joke. You don't want to wash. You don't want to wash because God forbid you have to bench. God forbid you're going to have to bench. And this happened to me in the last 2 weeks. I'll tell you what happened. For the Mevaseret guys, I want to speak up a little bit. What chus you have. We were at davening. And our Chashiva Rosh Shiva, he speaks for a few minutes in the middle of davening. And in the middle of davening, he said something. He was talking about Hilchos Brachos. And he spoke about, he was teaching Hilchos Benching. And he said a line in Hilchos Benching. And I thought after he said it, I said, that was very sharp. He doesn't say Musa. He's not that type of person. He's not He's not tough like that. He's not. Everything's delicate. Everything's thoughtful. Everything's very, very, very methodical. But he said something very tough, and I was first taken aback that he said it out loud. And then in my heart, I felt a sense of I wasn't there. I just wasn't there. And what did he say? He made like a little backhanded comment. He said in Hilchos Brachos that we were learning, and he said, and God forbid, like almost a sarcastic comment to the chevra, to the guys, and God forbid you should spend 2-3 minutes thanking Hashem al eretz chemda tova urachava. Thanking Hashem al eretz chemda tova urachava. Just one line like that. And in my heart, I wasn't there. I didn't feel like I was there. And I thought it was very sharp. I thought it was very tough. And I had a reawakening. I had a resurgence in the last couple of weeks. And the last couple of weeks, I realized something amazing. Our whole life is nothing. Our whole life, we have nothing. We carry nothing. What you carry today has no guarantee about tomorrow. That means if it has no guarantee for tomorrow, that means you carry nothing today. You want to get depressed? I'm not trying to make you depressed. This is not depressing. It's the opposite of depressing. It means we're dependent upon the one who gives us everything. We're utterly dependent upon the one who gives us everything. And to say it again and again and again, it's not going to be enough times. That we're utterly dependent upon the one who gives us everything. And there's a being who's constantly giving us everything. Everything A to Z. Everything Aleph to Sof, and a cherry on top and icing on the cake. And nonstop and ceaseless and seamless. And there's one that's never ending, giving us everything. And it's hard for us to recognize that. It's hard for us to connect to that. Because we're busy and we're preoccupied. And I noticed that it's in benching. That it's in benching. That when you feel you received something, we all want to have good midos. We all want to be good people. There's nobody who doesn't want to be a good person. And when somebody, when your friend, your roommate, a random guy in the street gives you something, 1,000 thank yous, 1,000 thanks. I owe you, I'm indebted to you. How can I repay you? And you can't get it out of your mind. You feel a little guilt and shame that you took from another person. You can't get it out of your mind. How am I ever going to give it back to that person? How am I going to ever take that load off my shoulders? I can return the favor. I could give something, a little bit something back to make him feel like I was appreciative. And we lose connection. We lose connection. Very simple. It's not complicated. We lose connection because we lose sight of who he is in our lives and what he gives us and how much he believes in us. So when he told us, V'yachalta v'savata v'irachta, so we, medaktikim, we're careful by ourselves, not because we're so religious, not because we're so religious, because we say, our response is, how are you going to eat and not feel amazing? How are you going to eat kebetza, kezayis, not feel amazing about yourself? Not feel amazing that you have a kesher with nitzchias, a kesher with someone upstairs who's all-knowing, almighty, and he's watching, looking, loving, caring, listening. Watching, caring, looking, loving, listening, every small action that you do. Non-stop. Day in, day out, when you're awake, when you're sleeping, when you're angry, when you're happy, day in, day out, he doesn't stop. He's 24/7 committed, not 24/6. He's not Jewish. 24/7, like a real guy, committed. That every need you have all day, every day, all week, all month, all year, every day committed. You're going to treat me like that? So how am I not going to be medaktikin acharei atzmon? To feel the appreciation. To feel that gratitude. To feel the appreciation. So Hashem says, whoa. So cancel the pasuk. Yeah, I said lo yis upon it. I said, I'm not going to be favorable to any particular people, to any particular person. But you're so favorable to me. And I have a midah keneged midah. Hashem works. That's his title. His title is midah keneged midah. Hello, my name is midah keneged midah. That's his whole essence. That's his whole being. Mida keneged mida. So you're going to be medaktikin acharei atzmon. That everything I do for you, you're grateful and you want to reciprocate. So how can I reciprocate back to you? I want to reciprocate back to you. I'll reciprocate back to you a little bit yis upon him. I know it says lo yisaponim, but what am I going to do? A little bit yisaponim. So in the klal lo yisaponim, but a little bit yisaponim, I can't control myself. So you're also not going to bench on a kol shehu. On a kol shehu, you're not going to bench. So I'll also keep a little bit lo yisaponim. We're not going to go crazy. A little yisaponim, lo yisaponim we'll hold on to. Like you hold on to a little bit, you're not going to bench. But you can't control yourself because you're thinking about me and you want that. You want the shaychus, you want the kasher. I want to end on one thing. Kimat, every 12th grader nowadays, maybe because he was brainwashed, maybe because it's genuine, maybe because it's trendy, maybe because it's the culture, they have a sprach, they have a line, they say, you know, I'm looking forward, Israel, I want to find a Rebbe I have a kesher with, a kesher shel kayama, a kesher li'olam va'ed, I want to have a lifetime connection, I have an older cousin, an older brother, somebody in my life, they have a real connection, I also want to kesher with my Rebbe. Kimat never, forgive me for noticing, kimat never, you'll find, I want a kesher with the Rabbanu Shalom. Kimat never, you'll find. It's not the talk. I want a kesher with a Rebbe. For some reason, they're not willing to break down the wall and get to the next level. The Rebbe is amazing. That's amazing. Now let's break down the wall. Let's yearn for more. Let's yearn for a kesher with the Rabbanu Shalom. Until today, after many years, today, like I said, I'm on this trip for Chizuk, and today I sat with a boy in 12th grade. He said to me a line. I couldn't believe what he said. I couldn't believe it. I said, "What do you want?" I said, "I don't even know what I was thinking." There was a little nothing on the table. I picked up a nothing, and I said, "I'm going to give you this." I think of the most random stuff to ask these guys. We have a great time. I said, "I'm going to give you this. And with this, you can have one thing. Anything you want. What's the most valuable thing I could give you right now?" And he was a very thoughtful kid. And he says to me, "I want to," these words. You're not going to believe me that a 12th grader said these words. I couldn't believe it myself. Just the words are very sophisticated. He said, "I want to experience the majesty of Hashem." Beauty. Wow. I want to experience the majesty of Hashem. So I told him, "You know what? Nobody knows. A big secret. It's a big secret. Most people are not familiar with this. I say this every day." When he said this line, he brought it really to the light. When he said this line, he said, "I say this every day. Al kein nekav lecha, Hashem Elokeinu, liros mehera p'teferes uzecha." I said, did you ever see this line? He said, "Yeah, I've seen this line. I say this line every day. What does that mean?" He had no clue what it meant. I said, "That means al kein nekav lecha Hashem Elokeinu, that we want mehera to see, but teferes to experience the majesty of the Rabbanu Shalom." I said, "You never. I never seen that line before. I get up to that, then v'nemar, we're done. You know, somebody says the second paragraph. You also have to see that. No, the second paragraph to say first paragraph. You go like this, and then it's over." He thought. B'seferes uzecha. I want to see the majesty of the Rabbanu Shalom. Where is it? It's in benching. You have to become a Jew who benches. A Jew who benches is a person who's going to feel connected. A Jew who benches grows. If you bench, you grow. I'm telling you something. You need to believe this. You need to hear it. You need to think about it. A Jew who benches grows. Try it. You'll see. A Jew who's at davening 5, 10, 15 minutes early grows. You pull up to davening 6 minutes late. You can't grow. You can't. Were you yotze davening? Probably. Do you have a guilty conscience anymore? For sure not. Do you feel like you lifted a burden off your shoulders? Absolutely. Did you talk to the Rabbanu Shalom? No way. You hit up a Shema Koleinu, and you said goodbye. You didn't daven. You didn't talk. You didn't listen. You didn't connect. You weren't medaktikin achar atzman. You didn't want that. You didn't yearn for it. But you do. But I'll tell you why you don't. And with this, we'll close. We'll end. Because when you're in a place like this wonderful place, it's not on your schedule. And at 1:15, you're at bio. And at 2:30, you're in math. And at 3:15, you're chem, wherever you are. But this never made it on the schedule. The Ribbono Shel Olam never made it on your rigid, tight schedule. So what are you doing? What are we doing? We're living a life. We need to be living a life. Al kein akav lecho, that we hope to Ribbono Shel Olam that soon we're going to see b'teferes uzecho. B'teferes uzecho we're going to get to by saying al eretz chemda toiva rechava sher tzitzel v'nchalto lavaseinu. What he gave to us, the kezayis, the kebetza that he gave to us, and that's how you develop a shaychus. You develop a real connection, and you're going to grow. You're going to grow. You're going to grow madregas and madregas. You're going to be in a place where people are stagnant. People are having a difficult time growing. And you're going to bench. You're going to be the biggest loser in the whole place. The biggest loser in the whole place that all your friends walked out on the table. All your friends are watching you like, what a loser. You're sitting there like, mom is a loser with a little bench. You're going word by word by word and everybody's done. 30 seconds, 20 seconds, 10 seconds. They could just go faster and faster. And you're sitting. Slow. Uvenei Yerushalayim. You get to Haracham and Harachman. Harachman, you're done benching. Benching's over. Harachman, I'm done benching. But you know what? You're ready here. You're here anyway. Benching's over. But you're here anyway. Harachman, I got a few favors to ask. And everybody says. If everybody, the poskim say, the mikubolim say, the svarim say, whatever the svarim means. Everywhere it says. Everywhere it says. When you're doing a mitzvah, Hashem's listening. It's a chaperayin. He did it in a mitzvah. He's so close. I also got struggles. We all got challenges. So chaperayin, Hashem. I tricked you. Now you're here. I bench good. No, now you're here. Now let's talk. We can have a real business. My friends left already. They were out after 25 seconds. But you're here now. It's just me and you. So it's me and you. Let's talk. Let's schmooze a little bit. If you're here anyway, where are you going? He's not going anywhere. He's not such a busy guy. He doesn't have a schedule. 1:15, he doesn't need to be anywhere. Let's stick around so you can schmooze. And he says, Hashem, listen. I've been wondering, I've been hoping. I got to see Mehera, quick, I don't have time. B'seferes uzecha. I want to experience your majesty. And with experiencing your majesty, we're going to grow. Guys who don't know Yiddish, I grew up, Yiddish my first language. I didn't grow up religious, but I grew up Yiddish my first language. Strobel knows me, he knows my family. Yiddish my first language. Guys who learn Yiddish later in life, every word you say lagamrei wrong. You say words, I don't even know what you're talking about. maybe you practiced enough and you figured it out. But I don't like when people say the word steigen. Steigen is the word that bothers me. Because I don't know what you mean when you say it. I have no idea what you mean. But the context that you say it in, that many of you say it in, you say, oh man, let's go steigen, let's go steig. So I think you think that it means to learn. Steig doesn't mean to learn. I'm sorry to break the news to you, to burst your bubble over here. Steig means to grow. Jews want to steig. You want to grow. How do you grow? You got to learn. But you got to bench. This is crazy that in our world, we live in a place that we're going to give 8, 10, 12 hours to the Torah HaKadosha. And we're not going to give 8 minutes to benching. 8 minutes, don't get nervous, I don't mean one benching. Two benchings. Three benchings even. 2.5 minutes, 3 minutes. Changes your whole life. You want to grow. So says the Ribbono Shel Olam, I also want you to grow. And if you're medaktik in achar atzmo, oh man, I'm going to be yis upon him. And I want to be yis upon him. Says, I want to thank the Chevra for coming. For me, again, I shared a little Torah because I feel guilty just sitting around and Yuri's going to crack jokes and Nak is going to sing. And some Chevra might feel like, I have a test. I got to be a chem at 1:15 and Nak's singing and he's cracking jokes. Very cute, but like, why am I here? So for me, that's enough for me. I also got a schedule, but to listen to Yuri crack jokes and Nak sing, for me, it's worthwhile. So I shared a little, but I really want to thank everybody for coming.